A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah. On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Welcome in to Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Joe George, Paul Gallant, Sean Mapes is here with us today. We're back in studio for the first time as a show. Feels so nice.
Oi! Yeah, it's nice to be back and to be right back to our customary mode of whenever it's slightly over 75 degrees
we're
in Houston,
cooking.
We will be in a furnace in this studio.
Yes, it's part of my my new strategy to lose weight this year. I'm just going to sweat it out in the studio.
Yeah, and we can't have you doing what that fatty boom baddie DJ Khaled did. We cannot have that.
That was incredible. So if you didn't see DJ Khaled, literally, that was because of his Jordans, he said. He couldn't get creases in his Jordans, okay. So he got carried everywhere.
We're learning things about each other over the course of this show. Are you a sneaker dork?
I have like 5 pairs of Jordans.
Jesus Christ.
Okay. It's not that bad.
You're one of those people.
I have like four or five pairs.
So you actually understand why he would do what he
did. Yeah, except the problem is that it's all I own, and I have a 3-year-old, so it's impossible.
I understand what his thing was. It's also very funny that he got 2 of the biggest men he could find to pick him up and then put him in the back of a 4-wheeler, which it does make it seem like
it's a weight thing.
Yeah, it's just a bad visual.
It's an effort of walking thing.
It's a bad visual.
It's definitely a weight thing. So that was going to be for you, my present to you today.
Okay.
We're going to make sure you never end up like that, even though you're a sneaker dork. Those look like and ones I bought for $30 back in 2007. I can't believe those are considered good shoes. I can't.
And one went out of business for a reason, Paul. Like, we're not talking about Michael Jordan sneakers.
They weren't
here.
Using enough child slave labor like Nike.
They were not.
Okay. Well, okay. You know what? Hey, some companies have more resources to do bad things, but we're not going to let you fall into that pattern, buddy. Although we would like it if you became a millionaire.
I would like it also if I became a millionaire.
I mean, what a job that fat bleep has. I mean, you just say DJ Khaled at the beginning of a song and you're done. You don't have to do a damn thing the rest of the day.
At least Jason Derulo, after he screams his name, sings the rest of the song.
That's true.
Like, DJ Khaled just says that and moves on like the party's over. All right, so obviously the Combine has started today. Nick Caserio, D'Amico Ryans will meet with the media later this week. But, you know, the other day at the TriStar show, Nico Collins was doing an interview with Channel 2. And he got asked about a contract extension. And he said, oh, man, I would love that. That would be great. I feel like that's what everybody works for. I'm just going to let it come to me. Whatever they decide, whatever they want to do, I'm going to let it ride. Me, I'm go. I don't think the whole quote is here, Paul, unless that's literally how he ended it.
Listen, I just copied and pasted that from Aaron Wilson's Twitter. So I'm going to blame Aaron Wilson, my friend, for that. Now, look, he basically said he's open to negotiations early. And of course he would. If you're making what he's making right now, 4 years, $4.852 million, you want more than that, especially after you just had a season that very few people saw coming. He deserves a ton of credit because I would count myself among the doubters going into the year. He has the size. He proved that he has the speed to get past defenders. He is, I would say, one of the top receivers in the NFL in terms of his ability to run after the catch.
Yep.
He puts his shoulder into people. He runs over them like he is a tight end. And this is going to be really interesting, Joe, to figure out what the Texans do here, because Nick Caserio, as a past New England Patriots executive, you wonder if he is going to change his stripes, the stripes that perhaps cost the Patriots towards the very end of we don't pay wide receivers.
Yeah, I mean, they did it so successfully by not paying. Like, who is what? Wes Welker, probably the most expensive receiver in New England at some point when, you know, he was there. Edelman, when Caserio was there, were the top 2 paid guys. I know they had Randy Moss, but Randy Moss wasn't making bank. They got him for, like, what, a 7th-round pick from the Raiders?
It was a 4th-round pick. They thought his career was over.
Yeah.
That's why the Raiders let him go. And, of course, he goes on to set the single-season record for touchdowns in a season.
But Nico Collins, it's interesting because, like, you just look at his bare-bones stats from this year to compared to the past years. Part of it is just he had a competent quarterback for the first time, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he went from 60 to 66 targets in his first 2 years. So he had 126 targets. This year he had 109. So his production, just in terms of getting the ball thrown to him, was incredible compared to what it was in the past.
C.J. Stroud effect, better offensive coordinator effect in what you had with Bobby Slowick. They figured out how to properly use him. If you're Nick Caserio, what would you do here, Joe? Because this is the first pick that you've really hit on. This is a mid-round draft pick. Do you want to reward the guy that you drafted? Because it definitely makes you look good to reward that guy. Or do you think you can keep finding guys like this in the middle of the draft? You did just find Tank Dell in this past year's draft. They are two for two as far as third-round wide receiver draft picks.
100%. And I still, like, I only talked a little about this yesterday. He came up. Like, I give them a pass a little bit on John Mechie because I still think that it was a good pick.
He was first-round talent, supposedly.
Yeah, but, like, obviously the knee injury that made him fall, and then he had cancer. So, like, it's just what he is. His career is not a disappointment because it's unfortunate. I would pay Nico Collins. Because even though I agree with you in terms of, like, he's one of the best in the NFL after catch, he still really hasn't performed because of the first 2 years of Davis Mills. So he's not going to cost you what Correct. These top-end Tyreek Hill, Mike Evans guys are going to be. So I would pay him now. I can't imagine that he goes into a meeting with Nick Caserio and says, I want to get paid like CeeDee Lamb. I want to get paid whatever Ja'Marr Chase is going to make because he hasn't done it. And that's actually why I'm a little surprised he wants to negotiate now. Because I would wait. I would bank on C.J. Stroud, Bobby Slowick, and myself and say, I'm going to go out there, have another 1,300-yard season. I'm going to get double-digit touchdowns. And then you're going to pay me like a $20 million wide
receiver. You want to wait for money? Are you on crack? What are you talking about here? You want to get paid.
I have no money, so I'm okay with waiting for money. I work in radio.
We're broke-ass boys in radio. We have been in this game working our ass off for, what, a decade, the two of us? Yeah. And we have still yet to be paid. You want to wait another year?
Yeah.
We're about to have a career year. This is about to be the most dynamic duo with Sean behind the glass in the city.
Fact.
And you would want to wait for money. You're crazy.
I think there's going to be more money for them if he waits.
Take the money. Life is short. As I've said before, who knows if we're going to get, I don't know, into a war with one of the big old countries or if non-human intelligence is going to take over. Take your effing money, buddy boy.
Well, you think the robots are going to take over and replace Nico Collins next season?
Well, I mean, Amazon, Skynet, what's the difference?
That's true.
What's the difference?
I think if he waited, or I guess he should be picky with his negotiations. Like, he shouldn't be, you know, like Yordan Alvarez's contract is terrible for Yordan Alvarez, right? It's not good. It's the best contract in baseball because it is such a ripoff.
One of the low-key racist things about the baseball in the United States is that a lot of teams know.
They take advantage of these guys.
They could take advantage of Latin American players because, yeah, they're like, well, life sucks where I'm from. I'm very thankful for what I could get. Where if you're an American, you might think to yourself, oh, I am a boy from the capitalist world, and I know that I can make an extra buck or two. So look, I'm not telling them to take a peanuts deal. I'm just saying, don't wait to get paid, dude. You can get paid.
Yeah, I would do it right now. If I was Nick Caserio, I would find a way to get Nico Collins locked up right now. Because while, yes, you're right, he did a good job drafting Nico and Tank. I would be fully confident if he drafted a wide receiver in the second or third round this year that player is going to be a high-impact guy right away, because it's what he's shown he can do as a draft, you know, someone that picks guys in the draft. But I would pay Nico right now because it's just, he is elite when at times.
I feel pretty good about paying him. I do. I get nervous with the guy having one really good season, but the difference between him and Jonathan Greenard is I feel like I've seen what makes Nico Collins special.
Yeah.
And it's the size, it's the ability to stretch the field, and it's the ability to run after the catch. Where with Greenard, I think Greenard is a very good player, don't get me wrong, but I don't know what it is that he does compared to what Nico Collins does that jumps off the table, and I know it by heart. Part of that is also because I'm, just be perfectly honest, like most people, I'm paying more attention to the wide receivers than I am to the pass rushers.
Easier to understand for dummies like me.
Exactly. I mean, even for me, I mean, high school football legend at the lowest level of high school football in a division that had very little diversity. But like, hey, you know, I'm still a dummy when it comes to focusing on one.
Yeah. And would you rather pay Nico a big contract right now, cheaper than what Mike Evans would be? I know T. Higgins is off the market. Would you rather them invest in a free agent right now or just pay Nico and figure out the draft stuff later?
I think if you pay Nico now, you create more flexibility for yourself to potentially do that right now. So this probably should, Joe, be the Texans' biggest priority. Giving Nico Collins a contract extension is going to make Nick Caserio's life a little bit easier. Now, of course, you will have to pay him a significant amount of money not that far away, but there's probably something that you could do, and I don't know how this stuff works.
Signing bonuses, stuff
signing
like that.
Bonuses, pushing money back, that could potentially give you a little more room. Now, I mean, he does cost very little as it is right now, so you do have him for a bargain, and you could think to yourself, okay, let's see if he can do this again. Let's see if he tests free agency, but then you run into the situation where you might have to give him the franchise tag, contract negotiations might go the way that they're going with Justin Jefferson, and then you end up in a spot where all of a sudden the team that has drafted two incredible wide receivers in the first round in the not-too-distant past, Stephon Diggs and Justin Jefferson, might be about to lose another one of those guys.
Well, speaking of Justin Jefferson, the rumors are out there that his contract negotiations, like Paul just said, are not going well, and that the Minnesota Vikings may make him available for trade. A franchise that has traded Randy Moss, a franchise that has traded Stephon Diggs, could they trade Justin Jefferson? And how much are you giving up of Nick Caserio's draft capital to get him to Houston? That's next year on Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. It's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Joe and Paul here on Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Sean behind the glass on Twitter at Sean A. Mapes. We're on Twitter at Gallant Says at Joe George Radio. Paul, so we just got done talking about Nico Collins, but there's a bigger fish out there, potentially. There's a guy who's probably the number one wide receiver in the NFL, if not top three. I mean, your top three wide receivers are what? Tyreek Hill, Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, in some order.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
That sounds right.
That sounds about right.
Like, yeah.
I don't think CeeDee Lamb's quite in that conversation.
No.
At this point.
No. We're not putting the Cowboy up there anyway.
That's fact. But we got this story out of Minnesota that, you know, the contract discussions with Justin Jefferson are not going well. That they might even be at the point now where they're considering trading Justin Jefferson. And there's rumors flying around. There's stuff I saw yesterday about, you know, would the, you know, the New England Patriots trade the number three overall pick to the Minnesota Vikings for Justin Jefferson. So maybe the Vikings can take a quarterback or another wide receiver.
That seems like something that would be resolved if it does get resolved during the draft, because the Patriots want a quarterback. As you say that, though,
yeah,
that's how much Jefferson is worth.
Is a top five pick.
Yeah, he would think at the very least that's involved, if not other draft picks to help out.
I think it would cost an arm and a leg to acquire Justin Jefferson.
I agree with that.
Now,
and then you got to pay him.
You got to pay him.
And I mean, it seems like he wants a lot.
Yeah, 5 years, 150 is I think what I saw. That's like, what, $30 million a year? Math is hard. That's one thing you'll learn about me. I'm not great at math, so I hope you are. That you can make up for me in that deficit of mine. But I'll tell you, Paul, if Justin Jefferson is traded to another team, it would be a tragedy if it's not the Houston Texans.
You think it would be a tragedy if it's not the Houston Texans?
I understand the idea of not wanting to spend too much money in free agency and not wanting to go get guys that are going to cost you an arm and a leg like Mike Evans or T. Higgins if he would have been available. But Justin Jefferson is in such a different category than other guys you can typically acquire. Like, it's Christian McCaffrey, what he did to the 49ers, I think times at least two. It is a guy that comes in here immediately, and as much as I love Nico Collins, he's way better than Nico Collins.
I disagree with the McCaffrey comparison, because when you're talking about a running back, this is a guy who you're handing the football off to and you're throwing the football to. So as far as a per-touch basis, Jefferson's not that. I mean, Jefferson, sure, best case scenario, 15 receptions in a game or something like that. But for the most part, receivers like Justin Jefferson, no matter how good they get, it's 8 touches a game. That said, he is such a difference maker. But a tragedy if another team's trade for Justin Jefferson, Joe, I mean, you got two good ones.
I know you have two good ones, but I don't know if you have a great, great one. Because that to me is where Justin Jefferson, the guy you mentioned in the, you mentioned Randy Moss. I think C.J. Stroud and Justin Jefferson could push that record. I'm not even trying to be super hot takey, but like
it's not a little hot.
I know it is. I know it is.
You sure sound a little hot takey.
But C.J. Stroud, we know what he can do, and we know what Justin Jefferson can do. Like my imagination just runs wild of what those two would do together on a field. Now I know you don't have a top five pick, so maybe acquiring someone like this is more challenging. But I would be very comfortable. Most of the time, a top wide receiver goes for at least two firsts. I would be willing to go two firsts and a good player to get this done.
But what are you costing yourself if you give up a couple of first round picks?
I always view it as
defensive linemen, offensive linemen, among cornerback. By the way, which you could definitely use a second good one. There's a lot of players that you can draft there, and I'm generally on the same page as hey. There are certain players you can get, and we overvalue the draft picks. And if Jefferson is available to what you're saying, okay, I'll think about it. But then I look at my roster, I realize I have two good wide receivers in Nico Collins and Tank Dell, two who I think can continue to improve. They are both young players. And I think to myself, I got to allocate my resources to other areas of the football team. I can't be a fantasy effing football team. Because that's what you've got that fantasy football mindset right now.
I would rather be, you know, do what the Miami Dolphins did. Like, I think that, you know, they had Jalen Waddle already. So they only had one wide receiver, and they had Tua. Now, at the time, Tua hadn't really taken off yet. But we've seen what's happened to the Miami Dolphins offense. Now, it hasn't led to Super Bowls and things like that, but that's mostly because of their quarterback. But I like the idea of having that generational talent. If you can acquire one, I feel like you should. Most of the time, I would not be in favor. Let's the CeeDee Lamb part of this. If CeeDee Lamb wanted to have a trade and wanted to be traded, I would not do this deal for CeeDee Lamb. I would only trade that much draft capital for Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase.
I think I'd only do it for Tyreek Hill, but I also don't know how much longer Tyreek Hill
is. I think
Hill's
he's
gonna going
play,
to play
like one more year.
Right. Because he does say that he wants to retire soon and get into porn.
Yep.
So, best of luck.
Good luck.
If that's the route he chooses. I say that about Tyreek because I still think he is the fastest player that I have ever seen.
100%.
Again, I'm 34, so I'm sure there's some other guys from back in the day that you guys might bring up listening right now. Okay. So, I'll walk down this road with you.
Okay.
I do not co-sign this, but if you're going to trade for Justin Jefferson, you got to trade Nico Collins.
I do think that's part of this. And that, you know, when you look at the Minnesota Vikings history, like the way they did the Diggs trade was they traded Diggs and they acquired Jefferson. Now, they didn't know they were getting him. They celebrated when the Eagles took Jalen Reagor or whoever it was from TCU because that was like one of the worst draft picks ever. But I do think that the Minnesota Vikings would want a wide receiver. My problem with where we're going down this road is I think you said the wrong wide receiver. And I think that if I was the Minnesota Vikings, I would want to put together a deal to have Jordan Addison and Tank Dell on the field at the same time.
Okay.
So that's where it actually would become more complicated in this conversation for me is that you have to then pay Nico and have Jefferson and lose Tank Dell. That to me would be a hard sell. I would trade Nico though.
Okay. I don't think you trade Dell.
You can't.
I don't think they're in
Turks and Caicos right now, him and CJ.
Right. I don't think CJ would like that. Obviously, football's a business. He's going to learn that over the course of his career because the Texans will lose guys that he wants to keep, and he will be pissed about that. And we'll see if he acts like we've seen some players act like when they lose their favorite target. But if I'm the Texans, I am not moving Tank Dell. I think that Dell does a lot of things that make him such a difference maker. Please, for the love of God, keep him away from the goal line.
Please.
Nico Collins is somebody that I'd either want to be in that package with the Vikings. I would like to think he would be more amenable to a big-time deal, given that he's not on a first-round contract, than a Justin Jefferson. And maybe that drives the asking price down. But the other part about this, too, Joe, is I want to have multiple wide receivers that do different things. And I think that Jefferson is more similar to Nico Collins.
Sure.
Tank Dell is just so unique as far as just being a small but guy who's able to do things with the ball in his hands as a runner because of his quickness, but also a guy who is able to get open at all levels of the field. And in addition to that, seems to have a sort of Vulcan mind meld, sorry to go Trekkie on you, with Stroud after a year. And it's something that we had heard about before the draft. A story that I thought got a little bit too much of the...
That CJ told him the draft tank?
Yeah, let's just say it got a little too much. That story got a little too much ass kissing.
Yeah,
you know, I feel like people were slurping on that one a little too much. Yeah. Let's relax a little bit on that one, okay? Like the Texans didn't draft Dell because Stroud told them to. But at the same time, they have a rapport. You want to keep that thing going. And if you are putting a gun to my head, maybe CJ Stroud just gets he stands on that business someday like he did with that guy in the Broncos. He comes into the office with Nick Caserio and he's like, I need Justin Jefferson. Then fine, I'll try to make Nico Collins a part of that deal.
So the 23rd pick, your first in 2025, Nico Collins. If that were the asking price by the Minnesota Vikings for Justin Jefferson.
You're thinking your first-round pick is going to be pretty damn late in the draft.
I mean, you trade for Justin Jefferson. You're probably thinking, like, that's a 28th pick in the draft.
I feel like they might be asking for 2 to 3 first-round picks. If that's the case, then you hope that Nico Collins drives that down a little bit. But they also know, hey, you got Stroud. Okay, this is going to be a team picking in the 20s for the most part over the next couple of years.
Yeah, I do think that that's because the Texans are this good already. It does change the math on a trade. Like, we've seen teams make these trades before, and sometimes when you're trading for that second first-round pick, you're hoping to get what the Bears got. You know, like the first pick in the draft, the top five pick, you're hoping that you're trading to a team that's going to stink next year.
Right.
And if you make that trade with the Texans, that's not going to happen. Like, now the Vikings probably also know that, where if you trade Justin Jefferson, he's probably going to be like, that team's probably going to be pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But I would entertain that. How much past that I would go, I'm not sure. Maybe a second I would throw in there, but I'm not going to, as much as I love Justin Jefferson, I do think 2 firsts and Nico is a very fair price, honestly, and it would deplete the Texans probably too much to go much past that.
Yeah, the thing is, you still have holes to fill. I don't think you're as close to a Super Bowl as you want to be. Having Stroud is a huge difference, but there's a lot of things that this team needs to improve on, and Stroud is not going to bring the entire talent level of a roster that has a ton of free agents up to the point where you feel like you can beat Kansas City, you feel like Baltimore's not going to stuff you in a locker and you know, like slide poop through the little holes in the locker. I don't know if anyone's done that. Probably O'Doyle's did.
Yeah, see, I don't think I've ever done that before.
Sounds like you've done it.
O'Doyle rules.
Such a specific thing. Yeah. That no one's ever heard
to
you?
No, it didn't happen to me.
Okay.
Well, no, I mean, you didn't hear about his high school football exploits. He was the one pushing the poo locker.
There's some other people doing some weird stuff.
You were the hazer?
That Northwestern ogre stuff, I'm just glad that they left me alone.
Was it more like press prep? Didn't have an investigation?
No, they did not, Sean. Broomsticks were involved.
Oh, I would say, was it like Blue Mountain State?
No one was embarrassed by it. No, I mean, it was just guys being guys, you know? You know, every now and then, guys are guys.
Are you a Blue Mountain State guy, Paul?
Yeah, I love Blue Mountain State.
Are you excited for the relaunch, that they're going to bring it back?
I'm very curious as to how they're going to do the relaunch, given that the lead character, who the main character.
I mean, he's...
Thad Castle. Well, Thad Castle's become a serious actor all of a sudden. Is he going to go back to being Thad Castle? I'm curious. I very much enjoyed these 2 seasons of Jack Reacher that he's been in.
It's very good.
Of course, Sean Mapes and I, who we saw the last Fast and Furious, I mean...
I am so happy.
He was a very good part of that movie. I enjoyed his entry into the Fast and Furious franchise.
When I found out I was doing this show with you guys, I'm not going to lie, the first thing that popped in my head was we get to go see all the new Fast and the Furious together.
Family.
That's a little bit disrespectful that the first thing you thought of was the movies. But
I was jealous.
I was jealous
that you guys went last time. And I was like, I know I'm still kind of new here and didn't cut the invite. Yeah, but now, like, when the new one comes out, like,
and I think
field
we watched
trip.
It after a Thursday show at, like, 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
It was
right
like,
away.
Immediate.
Yeah.
So
like, the earliest ticket we could get.
I'm looking forward to that. Like, because I also love those movies.
They're so good and they're so bad. But the good is what makes it bad, and the bad is what makes it good, if that makes any sense.
Is there any other wide receivers or anything that you would entertain for a lesser value?
Look, I think the Texans are good at receiver. I do.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like they got enough contributions from some of the other wide receivers in the 3 and 4 spot. The thing that you just really are hoping for is that you don't run into a situation where Collins is banged up, he only played 15 games, or Tank Dell's banged up. And of course, you know, injuries happen, but you can't have the stable of Lamborghinis in your garage that we all want, you know?
Yeah.
Like, just because you play fantasy football doesn't mean you can have like three quasi number one wide receivers.
I have two names on, for the other side. I want to throw out your way. Two guys that might get traded this offseason, and I'm going to try to do this the best I can for Paul, okay? The woke mob is trying to cancel court storming.
What is happening? What is going on?
That's next here on Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
713-780-3776 is your way into the show. The text line, the HRMP listener line. We are still going to try to be the most interactive sports show in Houston. I'm gonna do my best to help that. Paul's going to yell at me if I fail.
We will always keep that going.
We'll always keep it going.
Yeah. So we got to do some things. I think we got to, you know, can we help out some of our, you know, band listeners? Can we do that?
I helped out one yesterday.
Let's bring them all back. Listen, I believe in freedom of speech.
We'll see. There's one that I'm not going to let back.
But I want him back.
No, we're trying to open.
No, you want Willie back?
Listen, I want everybody back.
All right.
He's trying to open Arkham Asylum is what he's doing.
Okay.
Listen, I'm not sensitive, okay? We should be less sensitive as a station. And in a world where free speech is being trampled upon by everybody, I believe in free speech. If you want to call me gay, it's fine. I don't care.
No, there's a couple that like probably deserve to be in the loony bin in our Twitch chat. Hi. They can come and hang out at ESPN Houston's YouTube channel.
I think
banned from there yet.
Temporary bans are okay, but like just the outright bans, even if the person has a very, very strong ADD, whether you're a texter or you're a YouTuber or you're a Twitcher or a tweeter, listen, I believe all are welcome in the house of Paul. And now Joe.
We'll consider it.
So I'm one of those people that would let a migrant sleep on my couch. Does that make me better than you? Yes.
It probably does.
It does. But I wouldn't actually do that.
No, I would not recommend that, Paul.
I would say I would.
Okay, so two other wide receivers here quickly before we get to the court storming madness. A.J. Brown, rumored to be potentially open, all the weird Eagles stuff that's been going on. Mm-hmm. At one point, during the playoffs, the Texans were the betting favorite to where
they were.
If A.J. Brown is traded, where would he go?
Correct.
And then I think there's still something there with Stephon Diggs, you know, that like he's not happy in Buffalo and he could be available. He's probably the cheapest contract and trade of all the wide receivers we kind of discussed so far. Would you explore a first-round pick trade, 23, for A.J. Brown or Stephon Diggs?
Not Diggs. Diggs is a diva. I can't deal
with
that.
He's too big of a diva.
And he wasn't even good.
I know Josh Allen's not really a great quarterback at times, but
with Evans, it's tricky because Evans is from here, and I imagine that he really wants to play here. And since it's very unlikely that the Bucs give him the franchise tag, you could potentially just sign him and not have to give anything up. What kind of a deal is he going to be looking for, and what kind of production is he going to give you at this point in his career? He's still damn good, borderline Hall of Fame player.
Yeah. I mean, he's had, 1,000 yards for 10 straight, 11 straight seasons?
His statistics
are
jarring when you see him because you don't think he would have had that many. My big Mike Evans take is I think he should have won the Heisman instead of Johnny Manziel.
Agreed.
Back during that season because Manziel was just like running around like a little kid playing Madden on rookie mode, tossing it over his shoulder downfield, hoping to get bailed out.
A lot of them were very bad throws, and Mike Evans was just bailing on him. What about A.J. Brown? Would you trade for A.J. Brown? Because I mean, if it's that bad this early, like if this drama stuff that, you know, we talked about yesterday with Craig Carton that he mentioned that he can't really talk about, it does feel very centered around A.J. Brown, Jalen Hurts.
It feels centered around everybody. That's the problem.
They feel dysfunctional.
I feel like the biggest problem is Sirianni, the head coach.
Yeah.
So, I'd consider A.J. Brown. Yeah, Brown is a tank.
Yeah, I would love A.J. Brown. And I think like a first-round pick straight up for him, that's what he got last time.
We'd love all the wide receivers. But really, again, before everyone wants the flashy stuff. At the end of the day, you got to think about the other things that they need to address. Cornerback, defensive line.
There's a lot.
Interior offensive line, again. there are things that they have to address in some way, shape, or form this offseason. And I'm not saying that I'm unwilling to trade capital like some of the people out there who believe that first-round picks have a ridiculous amount of value. I'm just saying you got two good wide receivers.
You don't need to – maybe it was a different position, you might have a different view
exactly.
of this.
Exactly. If we're talking about a cornerback who's still on his A game, unlike Xavier Howard, then okay, sure.
Yeah. But, or a pass rusher. Or
yeah,
like
or a pass rusher too, but we're not talking about that right now. We're talking about a position of strength right now for the Houston Texans.
All right, so one thing we did not get to yesterday, and we're going to do this in the next segment as well, things we missed. Mondays are always busy shows. So we're going to kind of try to recap some of the weekend stuff on Tuesdays, all the stuff we missed. But the big story was, and it kind of has been this entire college basketball season, is court storming. Like that, we have this Caitlin Clark, you know, where she got hit. It was a flop. She hardcore flops. And then this weekend it happened again when Wake Forest beat Duke, and Kyle Filipowski, he looks like he hit his knee and he had to get helped off the court.
Sprained ankle, I think, was the official diagnosis. Here's the thing. It's going to get covered more because it happened to a Duke player. It's also going to be something that a lot of people maybe are like, eh, whatever, it's a Duke player. Am I wrong? Like, oh, wow, here's the token Duke White. He rolled his ankle. Who effing cares? But I think that everyone is looking for hot takes to have in the speak for your pizza culture that we have after a weekend where we had zero football at all and everyone's coming back from vacation. So people fired some takes out there.
Yeah, well, let's hear some of these takes. First, we'll hear from Jay Billis, one of the most, well-known college basketball guys. Here's Jay Billis.
He's a lawyer. Did you know that?
Yeah. I hate people like that. Reminds me of Julie DeCaro, the worst person on the planet. Not everyone knows who she is, but she's now the editor of Deadspin. She sucks.
I'm sure Jay Billis is a nice guy and all, but there is an air of snobbiness that can only come from somebody who was, at one point, the token white guy at Duke.
All right, here's Jay Billis on the court storming issues.
But the truth is, nothing's going to change now. We're going to talk about it, and it's going to go away, and nothing's going to change. And if they wanted to stop it, they could stop it tomorrow. The administrators will tell you that security experts tell them that it's not a good idea to try to stop the court storming, that could cause more problems than it would solve. But you don't have to stop the court storming. One time, all you have to do is once they're on the court, don't let them off. Just say you're all detained and give them all citations or arrest them if you want to. And then court stormings will stop the next day. There's no accountability for this. The fans feel like it's an entitlement, and the universities like it, and the truth is we like it. Now, one last thing on this.
No, we're good, Jay. Imagine telling security guards who don't give a rat's ass about their terrible, low-paying job that they got to handcuff and detain
like 10,000 students.
Thousands of children.
Well, I love his logic because of how so flawed it is that you're going to detain or arrest college students and it's going to stop them from doing something. Has anyone ever heard of underage drinking?
No.
How many times did you run from the cops in college?
I never ran from them. I accidentally told on myself once for something I didn't do.
Boy Scout Paul Gallant.
Sean?
What?
Do you ever run from the cops in college because of underage drinking at a party?
I have avoided police officers while committing a crime.
Yeah. I have ran from the cops plenty of times.
You both have?
I've run from the cops, yes.
I was on probation my freshman year at Syracuse because there was a morning that I woke up and somebody who was on my floor, this person thought that I went into his room and peed on his computer. And
why did he think that you did it?
I don't know, but he was apparently running and ramming into my door at night, and I was out, so I don't remember. But I remember before I went to bed that night that I played Zelda The Wind Waker for 30 minutes, okay? So I remember getting home, and it was 6 beers. I did not have any shots. I was pretty sure I didn't do it, but these two campus police officers, they brought me in, and honestly, I should have had a lawyer present because these guys made it seem like it wouldn't be that big of a deal if I did that. The RA decided to write me up for like hate crimes and all sorts of other things, and I'm like, wait a second, what? How did this escalate to that? And we come to find out 2 years later, one of our other friends on that floor was a serial sleepwalk and pee on things guy. So it was definitely him. And I was on probation for basically my entire sophomore year because I confessed to a crime that I did not commit by saying, I don't know, maybe.
It's like there should be a Netflix documentary about
your
false confession.
There
for
should.
Being on the being on there your roommate's
and
floor.
And since they were campus police, I figured I would be okay.
Yeah.
Because they made it seem like, oh, it's not a big deal.
Not in Jay Billis' world. They could slap cuffs on you.
One of them even told me, like, oh, well, you know, I peed in a trash can once when I was drunk. And I was like, oh, well, these guys are cool. Which is why my dumb ass
they got
went to jail.
Good cop on you, and it worked.
They just wanted to clear the case.
Yeah. 4661 says it's already banned. Schools get fined when it happens. You'll never be able to stop it. I agree. It is banned. They get fined like $100,000, whatever. But like they don't actually try to stop it. Now, I was curious what the reaction to Jay Billis would be. And Richard Jefferson, he got a little feisty with his.
He did.
That's got to be the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my entire... Did he say detain 10,000 people? Did he say give 10,000 people citations? Me and Becky were talking before this because I asked the Hall of Famer, Becky Hammon. So what do you think? She goes, if you don't make stupid rules, you don't have to enforce them. And that is silly. First of all, I get it. As an Arizona player, Duke player, typically the really good teams, I've had the court stormed on me 4 or 5 times. It's a part of it. It sucks. You don't want to see this. There has been things that happen. But this is about college basketball. This is about college football. To say something, and I love Jay Billis, a legend in this game. That is asinine to suggest that, because for me, when you look at this, yes, get your players off the floor. We saw the situation with Caitlin Clark. However you feel left or right about that, was it a little bit of a flop? Was it a little bit of an embellishment? I get it. But this is a part of college sports. It always has been. Mm-hmm. For what, 40 years, 50 years?
It has been. And I've seen other people, Joe, Dan Patrick, Jay Billison, the further point that he made, talk about how maybe media has glamorized storming the court in those 40 to 50 years because they show it all the time. But it is a really, what you think at least, fun thing to do in the moment in college. I don't even believe there really should be rules for storming the court. Sometimes it does look bad.
I have one rule.
Where people, give me the one rule.
You can't be ranked.
You can't be ranked. Okay.
You cannot be the number 23 team in the country, beat the number 5 team in the country, and storm the court. You're a loser.
Fair enough. I think now, though, and it's because everyone's got their phones out, like that girl who Caitlin Clark flopped against, but everyone wants to do
the viral
their
moment.
Viral, my camera moment.
I just
everyone
think you should to have to, at least, like, it should, the upset should matter a little bit.
That's fair, but here's the other thing. You don't know when it's going to happen. It only for me. Syracuse, my sophomore through senior year, was one of the best teams in the country all 3 of those years. My freshman year, they stunk. My freshman year, they played Georgetown, an arch rival, and this is something that would be frowned upon by some people because Syracuse beating Georgetown should not be a court-storming moment.
Sure.
Two programs on a level field. But we stormed the court. As I stormed the court and I was walking on, or running on, someone tried to bring me down because they tripped. And I stiff-armed their face and continued forward. I don't know if
all
the person
safety.
Made it. Thank you. And the guy who averaged 90 yards a carry is a running back. No big deal. And when I got to the middle
of
the court.
Did you say 90 yards a carry?
9.
Okay.
And when I got to the middle of the court, I realized this is the worst thing ever.
Why?
Because it's just a cluster bleep.
Yeah.
You can't move.
I'm so jealous.
There's no extra drinks. There's like once you're there, it's like, all right, I did it. Now what?
Yeah, how do you get out?
And it takes 20 to 30 minutes to get off the court.
Yeah, I guess I never got to experience it. I went to a fake college, basically. I went to 2 colleges. The first one I went to was like 3,000 students.
Okay.
And then that's where I was in my fraternity, as we discussed yesterday.
Frat guy.
And then I went to an art school, basically.
You went to an art school?
Yeah, I have a fake college degree, basically.
You have a fake college degree?
No, I mean, it's real, but
what's
it's
it in?
It's in radio broadcasting.
Oh, okay. Well,
like,
hey,
we had, like, radio studios in our classrooms.
Okay.
So, like, it's literally all it's worth is that.
Oh, I was just going to say you're talking to 2 guys that majored in journalism, so it's not like...
It's not that different.
Not right.
Did you ever storm the court at UT?
I went to UT. Of course we didn't.
What does that mean? You're too good? Yeah, or you didn't win enough.
No. Well, both. But when
it's definitely the latter.
Texas beat. In basketball, Texas basketball can storm the
court.
Well,
I was thinking basketball.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Because the only time I've even thought about it was football when they beat Notre Dame in 2016.
You were there too. I was there.
Yeah, and Notre Dame was like number 5 in the country.
Right.
Texas just came off. Charlie Strong was coaching Texas.
Shane Buechel time, baby. Texas
so
is back.
Coming off a losing season, and
this is causing bad memories.
We looked at each other and we're like, I don't think we're going to storm the field, even if we win. I don't think we're going to, like, I don't think this rises to the level of, like, if you're Texas, you can't storm
the
field.
So was there, like, a murmur in the crowd of, like, as it's happening, like everyone's playing, like, telephone, saying we're storming, or just you wait for, like, 5 or 6 people to go and then everyone follows?
People started moving towards the
So you could kind of tell?
Wall.
Yeah, I think if you know, kind of thing.
And at that point, like, when the masses start coming to the walls, like, what are you about to do, you know? Like, if you're a security guard, like, I'm going to stop all these guys.
No.
Now, I have seen every now and then, you'll see, like, one security guard give a little bit of an effort, and I like that guy.
Clothesline.
Dude, but they always get a girl, man.
Jay Billis gave that guy a gold star. That's
he did?
What he
Oh, yeah, he would have probably.
Yeah. You know, there we go. Got one.
Detainer. Cuff him.
They always
zip ties.
Tag him and bag him.
Give all these guys in yellow jackets zip ties. Zip tie them all together.
But like I saw someone on Twitter like, the only way you can fix it is if you put up like the hockey glass around the arena.
No, you don't want
I'm
that.
I'm like, you know how stupid that sounds?
You don't want that.
Like, you know, like the idea that they would do that.
No, I think that it's totally fine the way that it is. I think that the one thing that these schools could potentially do is what Creighton did. Creighton, give them credit, that is a basketball school, but when they beat UConn not too long ago, they actually had security block off the UConn bench.
Yeah, which is smart.
I don't know who thought of that, but like that was brilliant. That's what everyone should do. And again, you know, security is going to vary school by school. It sucks when a player gets run into, but yeah, them's the breaks. Keep your head on a swivel, babe.
Lastly here, shout out to Mississippi Valley State. Their fans, they stormed the court last night. There's about 30 fans on the court because they won their first game. They're 1-27 on the season.
All of them could have been arrested. That would have been funny. That actually was possible. You got what? 30 people?
Yeah, you get them all. You arrest them all.
I'm imagining Mississippi Valley State's not going to have many security people out there, but you can probably get at least 4 or 5.
All right, other stuff we missed this weekend that we did not get a chance to talk about, that's next here on Glott & George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Paul and Joe inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Things we missed this weekend that we didn't talk about yet, Paul. Cougs, number one. This is a Cougs show, right?
Yeah, I'm the biggest Cougs fan here.
That's true. I've heard that.
Right. I don't need to be paid by the school like Jeremy Brandon.
To root for the team?
No, I don't have to do that.
Yeah, you and Sean Mapes, number one Cougs fans in the city.
Integrity. We jump on bandwagons here.
Lived in the city for over 20 years, Joe.
You're a Cougs fan?
Yeah. Houston all the way.
Yeah, Houston all the way.
Do you put on for your city? On for your city?
Yes. Got to.
East side, west side.
I cannot wait to go to the game versus Kansas next week.
We're going to have to fight over credentials.
We have two of them.
Okay.
Because I can't wait to go to that game. So, that game's probably going to be massive. That game probably will decide the winner of the Big 12, or it could decide the winner of the Big 12, or at least the number one seed.
It definitely will. I want to figure out where the people party before basketball.
That's a
games.
Great question.
Because it's one of those areas where there's not really a central location. It feels like this would be like the great. Hey, anybody listening right now, you want to start a sports bar like somewhere around Fertitta Center?
Yeah.
It doesn't, and I could be wrong here, but off the top of my head, and I've been to like 5 or 6 Cougs games for hoops, and I've been to a couple of Roughnecks games when they were over at TDECU. For the life of me, I do not know where people go, whether it's a bar or what area is where people tailgate. And that's what I want to figure out. So when I go to that game, I mean, of course, I'll watch the game.
Yeah.
But I will likely be focusing on beverages.
That will be my first time going to Fertitta Center.
It's
I haven't been yet.
It really is. I mean, they nailed the intimacy spot part of it.
Yeah.
Because it's nice, confined, it's not too big, and it gets loud. And the biggest game I went to was last season's game against Alabama, which was, I think, in December of 22.
It was early in the season.
Right. And it was awesome. Yeah, they're playing the womp womp and everything.
Well, and this is going to be like awesome. This was one actually when like when the realignment stuff started happening in college sports. I think the thing I was most excited about was that the Cougs were joining the Big 12, mostly for basketball, because like now you have Kansas and Baylor, and I still think the Gonzaga thing's going to happen too, where Gonzaga's going to join the Big 12.
Gosh, at some point. Random.
So random.
But I mean, hey,
that conference is sick in basketball.
If you want to make this best conference in college basketball even better, then I mean, that's what you do.
Wait till the ACC starts to blow up. Could they just get Duke and North Carolina while they're at it and just steal all the basketball schools?
I knew, really,
a super conference.
The ACC sucks now. I mean, how about Syracuse joins the Big 12, huh? How about that?
I'd be fine with
that. They're not good anymore, sadly. Yeah, they're bringing it down a little bit, Sean.
Maybe for football.
Honestly, at this point, you're right, probably.
They'll be back.
No, they won't.
Do they still run the zone?
No.
Oh, that's good.
Well, sure.
I mean, retire the...
Well, at least when they ran zone, they won.
Yeah.
I guess.
That's what I mean. That's why they won.
I hate the zone.
The zone would just completely flummox people in the playoffs. The Big East teams would figure it out, but the other teams are like, what the hell is going on here? But now everyone shoots three, so...
Okay.
R.I.P. in peace.
Apparently, the Texas A&M's one of their college baseball games this weekend got delayed because a Wagner, I don't know where that school is at, outfielder got stuck inside a bathroom.
Oof,
that's tough.
Did you think he bombed it before?
Oh, like he...
I'm wondering if this was a full bathroom.
That's
if it's a
tragedy.
Dugout bathroom, I'm wondering if it's just one of those...
Like the door broke.
Wonders. Yeah, the door broke. So hopefully there's some proper ventilation in there. But given that this was at a baseball stadium, and we're talking about the stadium facilities for players, especially the road team, probably not the best. That would suck. Have you ever been locked in a bathroom before?
No, I don't think so. I don't think I have been.
One of my friends got locked in a stall not too long ago, and he had to crawl underneath it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's happened.
It's pretty funny.
I think that happened. I mean, but I also might have been just like a kid and just crawled underneath the stall because I thought it was funny. Like when I was like 5.
Surprise!
I don't know if I got locked in there.
Yeah. Jay Billis wants you detained.
Yeah, detain him, sir.
Jay Billis would probably have the entire country arrested for something.
he could find something.
Like, he would find some reason to arrest us right now if he could. Probably just because we played his audio and made fun of him.
Yeah.
Have you been to, how many Aggie games have you been to, football or basketball?
I went to their first game in the SEC, and I've been to one more. It was a game against UAB. Because my cousin was in the cavalry, so he was firing the cannons and stuff, which was pretty cool. The first game I went to at Kyle Field on the field for a game where Manziel showed some flashes, and I was like, that guy's not terrible. Because I remember butchering his name during a sports flash at the flagship. That was the only time I'd ever heard of his name, and it was because he had gotten arrested for something.
I'm going to College Station for week one next year.
Oh.
For Notre Dame.
Yeah, because you're a Golden Domer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard you talking about that 2016 game, Sean. He wasn't having a good time.
It was like halfway through the story. I was like, oh, yeah.
You guys didn't hear me say I don't enjoy this? Because I was not enjoying this.
Did you go to it?
No, I did not. No.
Okay.
No, because 2016, I guess I've been here for only like a year at that point. But
it would have been hilarious. Like, we were all three at the same place.
Yeah, but I was just miserable. No, I'm going to this one because I think they'll win. I mean, they should be favored. I would imagine week one.
Road favorites? At Kyle Field? You think you can just go into Kyle Field and win?
Shaking my head.
Wow. Just Mike Elko.
Look at us becoming Aggies, Sean.
I don't know. I got Cougs and Aggies now.
I mean, honestly, I will root for the Aggies against Notre Dame.
That's fine. Yeah. I expect most people to hate Notre Dame. I get it.
I don't really hate them. I'm just like, I don't understand why we need to talk about you.
They're good, usually.
No.
Not relevant.
Oh.
Me and Stephen A. Smith and Mad Dog Russo are aligned on
that. Not relevant.
Not the SEC.
I heard him say that. They called Notre Dame not relevant. They're one of like five teams to play in the college football playoffs.
Yeah, how did that go?
Yeah.
Oh, those have been the worst experiences of my life.
Yeah. So did they belong?
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah. So right. Put somebody else in there.
Okay, we are 30.
We're just gonna bully you on this.
That's fine. I understand. If they ever win a national championship, like I'll be able to survive this. But until they actually win a college football playoff game that matters, like I get why people are gonna bully me forever. They've embarrassed themselves both times. All right, we are 30 days away from opening day. We've got Astros questions for you next year on Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.